Well, here in Spain, we're joined again by Blevins Franks Capital Rochford, and this week he's going to share some principles for successful investing to protect and grow your wealth. So how are you doing, Cahal?
I'm doing great, Howard. Enjoying autumn here in Spain. What about yourself? How are you?
Yes, it's cooler. Anyway, the clocks have changed. It's all a bit different, isn't it, how the seasons change so quickly.
Yeah. And we've had a lot of rain here as well, which some of it's been, you know, disastrous. So hopefully the weather kind of evens itself out over the coming weeks.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So Cahal, what would you say are the key elements of protecting and growing your wealth?
Yes, a good question, Howard. I would say that the three main pillars of protecting and growing your wealth, and these are also significant risks to one's wealth if left unplanned or unconsidered. But the three ones that I would consider would be tax is a big one. So getting your tax planning right now and after your lifetime, which would include tax efficient estate planning. You know, you want to make sure that your capital is not dampened by ongoing taxation, and you don't want to lose a large portion of your wealth from tax when it passed down to the next generation. So tax is the first one. The second one would be investor protection. And so this covers where you hold your wealth and how it's protected. Are you taking on counterparty risk or insolvency risk or credit risk in terms of where your capital is held? So, you know, in many jurisdictions, you'll have an insurance plan connected to a bank account. Like in the UK, it could be £85,000, in Europe, €100,000. And so it's very important that you're aware of how much risk is applied to your capital and how you can protect it so all of it can be highly protected in the safest jurisdiction. And then the final one would be inflation or purchasing power risk. So the likes of debasement and dilution risk to one's wealth is very important. I think it's crucial to hold investable, desirable assets. So thinking stocks, property and hard assets that are more scarce than, you know, bank currency, which is being perpetually diluted and debased. So these investable assets can help retain and grow your buying power through time, as inflation is a very real risk to one's wealth. So I think to protect capital, preserve the buying power of your capital and pass on your capital in full, it's important to consider all of these three areas. And this, of course, does require specialist, careful, strategic financial planning to achieve it.
Well, let's look at these three points in detail, starting with tax consideration. What are tax-efficient structures and how big a role do they play in improving investment returns?
Yes, this is very, very important. So tax efficient or tax advantage structures offer compounding growth perpetually without the dampening interference or effect of continuous taxation. So as the late Charlie Munger famously said, the first rule of compounding, never interrupt it unnecessarily. So in each country where you may live, there will be the optimal structure to hold your investment capital, for example. So in the US, you could be looking at a 401k. In the UK, things like ISAs and premium bonds work very well. In France, you'd have an assurance V. And here in Spain, you could look at the optimal structure being a qualifying tax-compliant investment bond. So should you not, on the other side of it, should you not hold a tax advantage plan, you may be losing around a quarter of the growth in income every year. So this can lead to a good investment giving only an average return over time. And of course, there's very onerous tax compliance and reporting if you're in the a non-qualifying structure. So at the same time as this, one must consider your estate planning wishes so that your investment capital can be passed down to your chosen beneficiaries as easily and as tax efficiently as possible. Some structures lead to high levels of inheritance tax, and this too can be avoided with the right planning. So the question becomes, why not employ the most tax efficient or tax advantage solution for where you live? Because often two plans may look very, very similar, but one of them can be far more tax efficient now into the future than one that doesn't enjoy the favourable tax treatment.
Moving on to investment risk, is it fair to say all savings and investments carry an element of risk? So how do you establish what your risk profile is and then build a portfolio around it?
Yes, a very good question, Howard. Basically, no risk often means no return. And arguably, even bank accounts carry risk. credit risk, as we saw back during the 2008 banking crisis, or more recently with the collapse of banks last year, such as Silicon Valley Bank. When you invest in stocks or property, you generally take on market risk, which is the price can change daily or weekly with the market dynamics of supply and demand. On the other hand, if you leave your cash on deposit, you're taking on credit or counterparty risk, as the money is essentially lent to the bank and owed back to you. So there's always a risk where the bank may not pay the money back to you if the bank was to default or collapse, for example. So it has been proven through time that bank deposits generally produce a negative return after inflation, whereas investable assets like stocks, property, and hard assets generally produce a positive return after inflation. So the trade-off becomes you could place your monetary value in cash that will appear stable in the near term, but will most likely lose value over the medium to long term, or you can elect to place your monetary value in investable assets that can be volatile in the near term, but has been proven to grow and preserve value over the medium to long term. In my view, in my opinion, the real risk is not investing during one's lifetime. However, it is very important to determine one's risk appetite, investment time horizon, capacity for loss, investment priorities and objectives, the need for income or growth. And this is best done with the help of a qualified, regulated and experienced financial planner. So I think all of this investment planning, some people do it alone or have a DIY approach, but in my view, it's always best to have a professional assist you with it.
Indeed. So what about diversification? How important is it?
It is very important. You must ensure that your investments are suitably diversified and you're not overexposed to any one given type of asset, country, sector or stock. Even in a bank account, for example, it's important to have spread your capital across multiple bank accounts to ensure that you're optimally insured. So by spreading risk across different assets such as equities or stocks, bonds, property, cash, and across different markets such as the US, UK, Europe, Asia Pacific, emerging markets, you give your portfolio the chance to produce positive returns over time without being vulnerable to any single area or stock or asset underperforming. You also remove the risk of, you know, electing to use a star manager where all of your eggs are in the one basket, and if it goes wrong, it can have a detrimental impact on your portfolio. So this sound investment approach of diversification can be extended by using a multi-manager approach where several different fund managers and strategies are blended together. And this can reduce your reliance on any one investment manager making the right decisions in all markets at all times. So diversification is very, very important, and it can provide risk-adjusted returns so you can take less risk with your money and still generate very solid returns over the medium to long term.
Once you set up your portfolio and you're happy with it, how often should you review it and adjust it?
Yes, another very good point. It's important to review your portfolio, I would say, at least once a year to rebalance it, which your advisor should do as part of their continuing service. As asset values rise and fall, your portfolio can shift from the one designed to match your risk profile and objectives, and you may need to make adjustments to reestablish your original weighting. You should also consider if any of your circumstances have changed and the implications for your portfolio. Also, over time, as you develop confidence in the approach you're adopting for your portfolio, people often increase their risk profile as they get more comfortable with the kind of the volatility that's ever present in markets. So regular rebalancing helps control risk and can have a positive effect on your portfolio performance. In our view at Blevins Franks, we find that it's very important to have an advisor who's well versed in all facets of financial planning, such as pensions, investments, financial planning, tax and estate planning, often covering more than one jurisdiction, because you may have assets in, for example, the UK, but be living in Spain. So I think it's very important to have an advisor who can bring it all together under one roof and really provide that ongoing advice, service and care that you need.
And all under one roof is the website at blevinsfranks.com.
Indeed, yeah. Please have a look on our website, blevinsfranks.com, and as well as having all the usual resources like books, articles, podcasts, and so on and so forth. You may get in touch with one of our local advisors, be it in France, Spain, Portugal, wherever you may be looking at. We'd be very happy to have a initial chat with you, have a cup of coffee, and see how we can help with them, bringing your plans for moving to Europe to a reality.
Many thanks. Always informative. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Howard. I look forward to speaking again soon.